Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new message series, Don't Blink. But first, here's his message. This is the day.
This brings us to our commandment to consider today, the fourth commandment, which is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. God has designated a day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And while every day is God's day, every day is a God-made day, this day that God has assigned as His day to be kept holy is select, it is spiritual, and it is to be kept in a very special way. It is a special day. That is, if you want to know God and His presence and power in your life. A.W. Tozer said, the man who would know God must give time to Him. And the time of your life is when you spend time individually and personally and then together with God's people in worship on God's day in God's church. So there are three principles that I want to show you as we look at this commandment in the 20th chapter. And let's read the entire commandment because there's an amplification as to how this commandment is to be kept right here in our text. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, watch this, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God's special day for His own people. How are we to keep this day? Number one, by remembering wellness. Now, I say that today because more and more I hear from people who are stressed out, stretched out, burned out, and wiped out with all the pressure of our culture today. People are burning the midnight oil, overworking, overpressing in life. There's a pressure cooker kind of existence that we live. We have all this new technology, and yet we're addicted to our little handheld computers and devices. We're always on. My mother used to cook with a pressure cooker. I never quite knew how that thing worked, but I always remember when it didn't work. As she may have been cooking some beans in that pressure cooker on the stove, I would be in my room minding my own business and I would hear this huge explosion. My mother would scream. It was a blood-curdling scream. I went running into the kitchen. This happened on more than one occasion. Running into the kitchen and there were green beans all over the ceiling because there was too much pressure in that cooker and it just exploded. And too many people today are living under too much pressure. And so God has given us a day to press pause. He has given us a license to chill, a day of rest, a day set aside, not for the church itself, but for man himself. Jesus said, God made the Sabbath for us. And it is for our blessing and for our benefit. Did you know stress is damaging not only to your mind, but also to your body? Stress reactions damage the cellular system. You become like a battery that wears down and wears out, even if you're a diehard or an Energizer bunny. Now, short bursts of stress are fine and we can recover, but chronic, long-term stress always being on keeps the system pumping. And as one doctor said, if left unchecked, stress-related hormones and chemicals can sear your body like acid searing metal. A little scary, isn't it? Now, stress, if I would define it, is that gap or that pressure that exists between what we expect in life and what we actually get in life. That's stress. And we have a generation that is so stressed out, and not just the hard-charging professional, the type A personalities, but young people are under perhaps more pressure than any generation before, with all the pressure of grades and getting in the right college and getting started in the right profession and so on. There's tremendous pressure. I read the story of one student who said, you know, I've tried everything. I'm still empty. I've tried the wild parties. I've tried the alcohol. I've tried the drugs. I've tried sex. I've tried everything, and I'm still restless. I'm still stressed out. He said, I feel like I'm having a pre-life crisis. And so many people find themselves in some kind of crisis, and it's time to listen to the Word of God and to stop, to slow down and to stop, because God has given us a prescription set aside in His time, on His day, for peace, for worship, for joy, for celebration, and yes, for rest. There was a doctor in Switzerland who did a study on the human oxygen, the combustion of the human oxygen system, and he discovered that we typically burn up more oxygen in a day than we can recover in one night's sleep. Well, that could be a problem, obviously. But what did God do? God gave us a gift. He gave us a day to rest. And there's plenty of time to catch up on the rest that we need if we will obey God's direction. The Bible said that God rested on the seventh day. He modeled this rhythm of life between life and work, between worship and work. He modeled it Himself in that when He created the heavens and the earth on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, He rested. The word Sabbath means to cease or to desist. It can also mean to take a breath, like that. That's the Sabbath, the Sabbath. So why did God take a break? Why did God rest on the seventh day? Was He tired? Was He worn out? Was His back aching because He'd been doing so much work? Not at all. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, God is never weary or tired. He never sleeps or slumbers. It was nothing for God to create the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I love that portion of the creation story when it says, when it came to making the stars, and He made the stars also. As if as an afterthought and the flick of a finger, He made the stars also, billions of them. Nothing to God to create. So why did God rest on the seventh day? It is the rest of completion. It is the rest of cessation of work, modeling for us how we are to live our lives. A rest of completion, a job completed, a job well done. And so when we come to the day of rest that God has given us, the Lord's Day, it's an opportunity to put the past week behind us, to get perspective on life. Knowing that we cannot change what has happened in the past, but this is an opportunity to reflect on what we need to change and to renew on what we need to do in the future. It is a time for perspective. It's a new beginning. It's a time to catch up, and especially to catch up our souls with our body. I heard about a group that was on a safari in Africa, and they were pushing their guides. These were Americans, just pushing their guides every day, just pushing harder, more and more. And finally, they get up to break camp after about a week, and the guides, they weren't going anywhere. They said, come on, it's time to go. They said, no, we don't go today, because today is the day we let our souls catch up with our bodies. They rested. And so should we let our souls catch up with our bodies so that we would be physically and emotionally and, yes, spiritually healthy. It's the rest of completion. It is a weekly reminder for us that we don't run the universe. It's time to remember that God is in control of our lives, of our days, and that we can trust Him. It's also this day of rest, a rest of contemplation. The Lord looked at what He had made in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and He saw that it was very good. The Lord Himself thought and contemplated what had happened. Say, what's it going to take for you to slow down and to start seeking God and allow God to break through into your life?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, This is the Day. Sexual identity, racism, the sanctity of life, these are some of the hot-button topics in our culture that Christians are called to address. And in his brand new series, Don't Blink, Dr. Graham shows you how to stare down the enemy's lies and stand firm for God's truth as it relates to the current culture. Don't Blink is our thanks for your gift today to help boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel. So call now to request your copy of Don't Blink when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message. This is the day.
Remember wellness, how to get there. But not only that, remember work. What does the scripture say, describing how we're to keep this day? 6 days you shall labor. In the same commandment that He calls us to rest, He calls us to work. Here is this balance in life. Both work 6 days and on the Sabbath day, or on the day assigned to worship God. Now, we've forgotten this principle of work, but God and His Word, in His Word, never endorses idleness or laziness. For example, Proverbs 21, 25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse labor. Jesus was a worker, a hard worker. He was raised in a carpenter's shop, doing chores for Joseph, and ultimately working himself, making plows and whatever. He was a construction worker. And then in his own 3-year ministry, he gave himself to preaching and teaching and traveling and healing and feeding and helping and confronting the religious system and ultimately dying. He came, he said, to fulfill the work that the Father has sent me to do. It's the principle of work, hard work. Here's what the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. In other words, if a person won't work, they shouldn't eat. They should really starve. Not talking about the people who can't work. The church ought to help. God's people ought to help people who cannot help themselves, who are hurt or broken or in misery and suffering and those who cannot work, we ought to help. But let me remind you of something very, very important. God has established the principle of work and hard work. That's a principle in the Bible. 6 days you shall labor. So I've already said overwork is wrong. Take time out. Don't be silly. Don't be stupid and overwork and ruin your life, your health, your family. But work and work hard. And that brings us to the final remembrance, not only to remember work and wellness, but to remember worship. There's the balance, you see, is to remember wellness, taking care of yourself, resting when you need the rest, working when you need to work, and the fulcrum in the middle that keeps us balanced is worship. You see that? It's worship. It is a day that is designated as holy unto the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, unique unto the Lord. The Jewish Sabbath is in view here. The Old Testament Sabbath, which was the seventh day, commemorating creation. But after the cross and the resurrection, the early Christians immediately, abruptly, began to worship on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week. And why? Because Jesus came out of the grave on the first day. He appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week. He appeared a week later on the first day of the week. He breathed into them the Holy Spirit on the first day of the week. He called them to fulfill the Great Commission. As the Father sent me into the world, so send I you. He gave that on the first day of the week. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God began to indwell his people, that happened on the first day of the week. Paul said, when you gather your offerings and store up to bring your offerings, do it on the first day of the week. It was the practice of the early church. This is, you know, some want to say, well, this only happened when Constantine in 321 signified that Sunday was the Lord's day in order to accommodate to the Roman sun god and so forth. Not true. There are Sabbatarians, people who say that we ought to continue worshiping on the Sabbath day, that suggests that we are wrong to change the day. No, the early church began worshiping on the first day of the week. It was consistent. And while it was a work day, they would get up early in the morning to worship before they would go to work on the Lord's day. And so when Constantine in 321 instituted the Christian faith into the Roman Empire, he did change the day to accommodate the Christians who were working. He made it a day off so that Christians could worship on the Lord's day. But from the cross forward, the Lord's day has been the day of worship for the believer and follower of Jesus. Paul had something to say about it. Keep your place there and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 over in your New Testament. I'll just show you what the scripture says about this in case someone asks you, because someone's going to write me a letter as soon as this message is done and say, well, here are the reasons you ought to be worshiping on the Sabbath day. Well, let me show you what the scripture says about that. Verse 16 of chapter 2 of Colossians says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, that is the ceremonial food and drink of the Old Testament, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or what? A Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The scripture says that Saturday was a precursor. It was a promise of things to come, a shadow of things to come. You ever seen a dog chasing a shadow of a bird on the ground? Or chasing his own tail, the shadow of his own tail? If you're worshiping and saying that you must worship on the Sabbath day, that's like chasing a shadow. The reality is Christ, the risen Christ. The one who said, come to me and I will give you rest. And so, yes, God has superseded the Sabbath with the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day, this day that he has made, should be a priority, a central priority for you and your family. But we have a generation of so-called churchless Christians today. And many professed followers of Christ absent themselves from the corporate worship of God's church, from the study of God's word, from the fellowship of God's people. Never present. God has called us together as his people to unite with Christ and his church. On God's day, we need to give time to focus on our faith, to celebrate the grace of God in our lives, to witness to our friends and bring friends to Christ. I really believe the fourth commandment is the most broken of all the commandments. We have demeaned and dishonored God on his day. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Give me a list and I won't do it. You see, that's the problem. A lot of people say, tell me what I shouldn't do on the Lord's Day, what I shouldn't do on Sunday. We ought to bring everything we do under this question. Lord, does this honor you? Does this please you? But I know what we must do, and that is to take time on God's day to worship him and to prioritize what is really important in our lives. This is so essential for our children. Look, your children know what's important to you. They know if church and worship is just a nice thing or a necessity to you. They know if it's a convenience or if it's a conviction. And my friends, church, if it's not important to you, I promise you it won't be important to your children. I'm grateful for a family that made the Lord's Day important. I've told you before that I grew up in a little town in Arkansas, now much bigger town, Conway, Arkansas. And my dad, in the 50s, owned a little drive-in restaurant. Boy, was that fun when your dad owned a drive-in. And it was called the Dandy Dog because we served corn dogs. They're not corn dogs, they're dandy dogs. And I ate so many of those things. My cholesterol must have been 300 plus before the age of 8, eating that fried cornmeal on hot dogs. But I ate a lot, and but I can remember every now and then a discussion. I remember overhearing my parents discuss, you know, we could make probably more money if we stayed open on Sunday. A lot of people want to come to the drive-in on Sunday. A lot of people want to eat our food on Sunday. Maybe we could make more money. But I'm so happy that my dad and my mom said, no, Sunday is a day of worship. We're going to set this day aside for the Lord and for worship. We're not going to work on the Lord's Day. And we're not going to make our employees work. So what about you in the Lord's Day? Are you giving God time to break through in your life? Are you stepping back to say, stop and praise God for His faithfulness in your life? I mean, think about it. I mean, your neighbors need to know if the Lord's Day is vital in your life. Do your neighbors watch? Sure they do. You get up and get your family off to church. There's so few doing that these days. It's unusual to see a family up and at it and going to church on God's day. If you do that, make sure you're a good neighbor the other 6 days. Don't be a jerk because they know you're going to church. You'd be the best neighbor they ever had. Invite them to come to church with you. But listen, what's the difference between an atheist who won't go to church and a so-called Christian who chooses not to go to church? What's the difference? The results are the same. May God help us to keep His day, to rest, R-E-S-T, resist the consumer, casual, carnal brand of Christianity that we have today and commit to worship and service in your local church. E, engage with other Christians along with your family in worship and service and giving and praying, in witnessing. S, say no to anything, to any activity that would keep you out of church on a consistent basis. Sports teams, sports programs, sleepovers at your house, family coming in to freeload on you. Look, if somebody comes in on Saturday on you, you just tell them, you're welcome to stay here, but we're going to church on Sunday morning. You tell your kids, it's great, you can have your kids over for a sleepover on Saturday night, but we're all getting up and we're going to church on Sunday morning. Or else your parents could come and take you home. Trips, whatever you do, make sure that you prioritize. We better get back to this idea, to this principle of church attendance. And God will bless us for us. Now, the true Sabbath is not in a day, but in Christ Himself. We rest. The true and ultimate rest and Sabbath rest is in the finished work of Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and said, it is finished. And then He rested and sat down at the Father's right hand. The work is complete. The work of redemption and salvation is accomplished. And that it is in that rest that we rest forever. The Bible speaks of that eternal rest, when we will rest from our labors and serve the Lord continuously in eternity. That's the rest that we long to experience. That's the rest that we can know in Christ beginning today.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, This is the Day. Our world is full of chaos and confusion, moral and spiritual darkness. What it needs to see is bold faith from followers of Christ. That's why Dr. Graham wants to send you his new 5-message series, Don't Blink. This series tackles some of the most pressing issues our culture is facing today and shows how the Bible offers the answers our world so desperately needs. Don't Blink is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's Word through PowerPoint. So request your copy when you call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, God cares very much about you, your physical, your spiritual, your emotional, your mental well-being. And so he has provided this day of rest. And that's what we talked about in the message today, how we can truly rest and refresh our lives by giving God first place in our hearts. And that means worshiping him, being involved in the ministry of our church and serving him on God's day. That means that we are always taking time out to give ourselves to the things that matter the most. So I want to really challenge you today. Be involved in the worship of Jesus Christ in your church. Don't minimize that. Teach your children the importance of Sundays and making Sundays a matter of personal and corporate worship. Take time out to spend that incredible and wonderful time with your family. If you honor God on God's day, I know that he will honor you with rest and peace and energy and stamina that you need for every day of the week.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's brand new 5-message series, Don't Blink, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about what it takes to achieve true success at home. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.